Well, thank you all for coming. This is lecture number three in this series of three lectures on restoration history. This one, let me go back to the title page. This one is called From Bethany College to Pepperdine University, Christian Colleges in North America with Roots in the Stone Campbell Movement. When I went to Nashville in 1973 to meet with Claude Spencer, the director of the Disciples of Christ Historical Society, I asked him the question, or the two questions, how many total periodicals did we produce? And he said over 1,500. And how many colleges slash academies and institutes? And he said over 500. And he had already put together a list of those periodicals and a list of those colleges. I just wanted to hear it from his mouth. When we finally started cataloging everything we have here at Pepperdine on periodicals, the archivist who was in charge, Katie Richardson, said to me, what is this going to look like at the end? How many different periodicals do we have? If you have a periodical like the Gospel Advocate or the Christian Standard, it's still being published. And it was being published in 1866. Then you have other periodicals that last two issues, 1 year or something. But 1,500 different titles. I guessed, it was a guess, it was an educated guess, I guessed between 500 and 600. She seemed quite surprised by that high number. But when we were finally done, it was like 570 or something. So that we have in our holdings here that many different periodicals. And then I said to her after, you know, the finding aid alone was over 1,000 pages. The finding aid to work through these 560 different titles with all the periodicals, the finding aid was over 1,000 pages. And I said to her, actually, we have more than 560 because you still haven't counted all the ones I have in my papers. Mm-hmm. And she said, you can't possibly have any periodicals that I haven't already. And I said, she said, name one, really putting me on the spot. And I said, the Western Evangelist. No, she said, we have that, Fort Madison, Iowa. I said, no, I'm not talking about the one in Fort Madison, Iowa. I'm talking about the one in San Francisco, California. She said, that's not fair. There were two Western Evangelists. I said, it was a monthly. It came out from 1858 to 62, 5 years, 60 issues. I have 52 issues. I don't have a full set, but close. So I just said, there's a lot of things like that. So the periodicals keep growing. And that's the way it is with the colleges. And my source here for what I'm about to give you today is The Disciple Colleges, A History by Duane Cummins. But he's mostly interested in the Disciple College. He mentions Churches of Christ and Christian churches, some. But he comes up with 414 schools, and he's not listing everything. So I think Claude Spencer was right that we have over 500. I know that the Bible says we're to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and every congregation ought to be a beautiful blend of mind and heart. And we have many classes here on prayer and on benevolent ministries and on the Lord's Supper and on foreign missions that really show the heart side of our movement. I'm clearly today doing the other side. I'm just doing the rational side, the life of the mind. And I'm asking, where did this begin in our heritage? And I'm going to make the case that Alexander Campbell and a certain location, Bethany, plays a big role. And it begins with preaching, which in a while evolves into a tremendous involvement in public debate. That was what really helped us grow, was we were a part of the Chautauqua kind of meetings that were taking place where people were exchanging ideas on the frontier. So for the first one on sermons, I think I would say Campbell, August 30, 1816, the Sermon on the Mount up at Cross Creek, Ohio, when he lays out his view of the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. And then for journalism, he starts the Christian Baptist in 1823. For education, he starts a school that he gives a surprising title to, Buffalo Seminary. It's just an elementary school for the children around him. And he does that from 1818 to 1823, 5 years. But Robert Richardson says in the memoirs, he gets discouraged with that. He's not impressed with the intellectual acumen of these students. They're not very sharp, and they're not very interested in what he's doing. He realizes what he wants is a different clientele. He wants college. He wants, but it's too early. It's too early for that. That'll come later. So in the four founding fathers, when we look at them, they all were interested in education, starting with, the oldest would be Thomas Campbell, 1763 birth. He's a graduate of the University of Glasgow, and after 4 years there, he goes to the seminary in Scotland for the Presbyterian ministry. Barton Warren Stone doesn't have the advantage of a European education, but he goes to David Caldwell's Academy in North Carolina, which for its day was a very good academy. And then he becomes the principal of Rittenhouse Academy in 1819 in Georgetown, Kentucky. Alexander Campbell does not have the advantage his father has. He only gets to go to Glasgow 1 year, and he never has any more formal education. And yet, arguably, he is the finest scholar of the four. And Walter Scott is a graduate of the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, is there actually 5 years instead of four. And when he comes to America, he's teaching in George Forrester's Academy in Pittsburgh. So all four of the so-called founding fathers of the Stone-Campbell Restoration Movement, all very interested in education. The young Campbell starts with that small school, but the day will come when he will have the vision to launch Bethany College, which he will charter in 1840, and the first students will arrive in November 41. There was one school ahead of him, Bacon College. I don't have time to talk about it today, except it never really had the attention of the church, certainly didn't have the money of the church. It stayed 2 years in Georgetown. It moved down to Harrodsburg. It struggled. It finally bounced back to Lexington. It merged with Transylvania, another school, and then it sort of, the history fizzles out. I'm just starting with Bethany as what our historians have called the mother college. Come on in. We have plenty of seats. Raise your hand if you've got an empty seat next to you.
We've got two. We'll move down.
Yeah. Some of these are only $10. Most are $10. And here's the location. Here's the Campbell Mansion. And Campbell adds on to it four times. 2 weeks ago today, I got to tour this. I hadn't been there in over 25 years. It was just a thrill to go through it again. And it is beautiful. And Campbell starts with the basic house, but then he adds on wings, and this is Stranger's Hall. And the students were actually living in his house. He has his family moved down here to the bottom area. But this is Bethany. This is the Campbell Mansion. This is sort of the impetus for this class. And then when you have 14 children, you can't study on that side. You build a study for yourself out. So I got to walk in this 2 weeks ago today and to see the bookshelves that are still there. And then the actual photograph, which I was stunned when I first saw it a few years ago, of Campbell in this study. The bookshelves are still there. The books aren't there. But to go in there again. And then 2 weeks ago today, I took to lunch Shelley Jacobs and Gene Cobb and John Engler. And what was the name of that tavern we went to?
Breezy Heights.
Breezy Heights Tavern, 2 weeks ago today. And I asked Jean Cobb, tell me the history of this, because she was Miss Historic Bethany in her year when she was working in the library. She said, I found that in the archives. It was there all along. She said, I was just going through box after box, and here is a photograph of Alexander Campbell, years after the Disciplina magazine had said there's only 9 images of Campbell. That's all we have on the planet Earth. And here's a photo of him in his study. And she said, then she tracked down where it came from, a family in Washington, D.C., who had it, and who had given it to Bethany years and years ago. But here's Campbell surrounded by his books, and he builds his first college buildings, and it opens for class in November 1841. And It gets the job done for a while until it burns in 1857, and then he can't go north. Civil War is about to start, and he's going to have to go south. Even though his college is located north of the Mason-Dixon line, it's the only piece of a southern state that is located north of the Mason-Dixon line, that little panhandle of what is now West Virginia, but was then Virginia. And he realized, with the tensions in America, he would have to go south. And he raises $50,000. And he builds Old Main based on the University of Glasgow in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And it's still there today. It's a beautiful building. And as you can see, this is from a lithograph. Let me go back. This is a lithograph in 1958. Here it is in 1858. This is 1875. And it still looks like that today. It's in very good shape. But at the same time, 3 years later, in January 1845, Talbert Fanning is starting Franklin College. And he is going to educate David Lipscomb and E.C. Sewell, E.G. Sewell, and David Lipscomb's brother William Lipscomb, and T.B. Larimore, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to educate the next generation. So we're going to have Nashville Bible School with Lipscomb, and that's going to become Lipscomb University. But there's Franklin College opening its doors in January 1845. I think of it every time I fly into Nashville. This is Nashville Airport. The old farm of Fanning's is on the property that is now Nashville Airport. I haven't yet to fly in there without my mind going back to Talbert Fanning teaching young David Lipscomb. And it's interesting. James Harding goes to Bethany, but Lipscomb goes to Franklin, and the two start Nashville Bible School in 1891. Now, here's Hiram College, associated with the 20th President of the United States, James Garfield. Garfield becomes president of this little school, and it's still there, Hiram College, and it is still affiliated with the Disciples of Christ. Now, here's a quick map. Here's Bethany up in this little area. Here's the Ohio River running down here. Here's the Mason-Dixon line below Pennsylvania, and it came right across to hit the Ohio River, and then it followed the river all the way down to St. Louis. So you got this little bit above the Mason-Dixon line, and then here's Hiram College up here just outside of Cleveland, and then over here in Indianapolis will be Northwestern Christian College, which is very much an abolitionist school, and then down in Tennessee we've got Franklin College starting there, and then early on we have some activity around Stone's home with schools there. But now let me take you way to the west to Missouri, right on the Mississippi River, as the Campbell schools are beginning to once he starts Bethany, now you've got Hiram, and you've got Franklin, and you got Northwest, and then out in Canton, Ohio, right in the northeast corner of Missouri, you're building a building this size in 1853. And this is bigger than Bethany was at that time. You know, Bethany burned in 57 and Campbell built it bigger. And when this burned down in 1903, they immediately turned around and built this and tried to copy it. They have a little different dome on top. But this is Henderson Hall, and this was built in 1904. I think it's on the Register of Historic Places in America. This is Eureka College's first building in Eureka, Illinois, and this is going to become famous for a second president exactly 100 years later from the first. Garfield was the 20th president. Reagan was the 40th. And Garfield was baptized into Christ on, this will be on the final, Garfield was baptized into Christ on March 4, 1850. He's 18 years old. He's baptized in one of the tributaries of the Chagrin River up there by Cleveland, by the log cabin where he was born. He's the last president born in a log cabin. Reagan is baptized into Christ on July 21, 1922. He was 11 years old. He's baptized at a revival at the Christian church there in Dixon, Illinois, because his mother was a devout member of the church. And then Reagan is dating the minister's daughter, which is why he goes to Eureka. You know, he goes to school with her, and that lasts for a year or two, but he goes on and graduates. And then he comes back. I mean, he's proud of his school, and he comes back all the time. Here's a picture of Reagan lecturing when he was governor of California. And he's dedicating the library, of course. And here's a picture of the people out that night to hear. This was before he became president. He went back when he was president and helped them raise megabucks. And even after he was president, he gave them another $1 million. He loves Eureka. He played football there. It was a happy time in his life. And that's a school still affiliated with, you know, the Stone Campbell movement. Here's Arkansas College, started by Robert Graham, one of Campbell's greatest students, who starts this in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and it's thriving in the 1850s. I like this image here of the horse-drawn carriage. But then the Civil War comes, and then Graham never comes back. It seems like a lost cause. So he sells the buildings to who? The University of Arkansas. That's why they're in Fayetteville. Now, we helped start three state universities. The Restoration Movement helped start University of Kentucky. That was the old Bacon College, Transylvania College, And eventually they changed the name to Kentucky University. Now it sounds like a state school, and eventually it's going to become. All the church ends up with is the College of the Bible across the street. But McGarvey takes over the College of the Bible in 1865 and runs it until he dies in 1911. And then it becomes, you know, years later, Lexington Theological Seminary. I've spoken there and spoken in chapel. Great history there in Lexington. But we were in on the ground floor of the University of Kentucky. We were in on the ground floor of the University of Missouri. James Shannon was the first president. He's one of Campbell's favorite preachers. In the Christian church, we were really right there at the University of Missouri. And because they wouldn't accept women, we started Columbia College. And Columbia College was a women's school until 1870. We had a colleague here, Ken Lizibnik, was from Columbia College. I used to talk to him about that. And he left us to work for them and to put a drama program out here in the Los Angeles area. So we helped start the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, the University of Missouri in Columbia, and the University of Kentucky in Lexington, Kentucky. So here's sort of, this all starts in this little panhandle with Bethany, and then we go to Hiram, and then we go to Northwest Christian, then we go to Eureka, and then we go to out here to Culver Stockton, and then down to Arkansas, and then several others are starting. Now we're starting across the Oregon Trail, and now we're coming up to the West Coast, and I write a book called Christians on the Oregon Trail, and I'm tracking all of this, Churches of Christ and Christian Churches in Early Oregon, 1842 to 1882. And when I get to chapter 14 to talk about all the schools that we started, I thought I had a brainstorm for a title. I called it the Bethanies of the West, because they were all indebted to Campbell and to Bethany. And notice I refer to Bethany in my first subtitle here, Alma Mater to a Movement. I think that's a pretty great subtitle as well. Bethany was Alma Mater to a Movement. So who is the first guy studying under Campbell to come all the way here to the West? It's William Lysander Adams, and here he is with Frances and their two little girls. And in the third graduation at Bethany, which would be 42, 43, 44, July 4th, Campbell always, he's a patriot, graduation on July 4th, July 4th, 1844, who gives the valedictorian or the leading address, whatever? It's Adams. He even boards, in all of his college years, he boards in the Campbell mansion. He doesn't stay in the dorm. Campbell is tutoring him right there in his house, and he thinks that Adams will go home to Illinois and really make the cause strong. So when the word gets back to Campbell that Adams is going to Oregon, Campbell writes his prize student and says, is there not land enough? And are there not people enough in Illinois for your talent and your enterprise without burying yourself and your family in the Oregon wilderness among the savages? Alex is a little exercised here. He's not happy with this move. And Adams writes back, no! Illinois is not big enough or good enough for me. My soul hungers for something that Illinois cannot give. In Oregon, I expect to find what I desire. So here he comes with his wife, and he settles there on Panther Creek, and he lives with the McBride family, and the women come, winter of 1848-49, and you're a graduate of Bethany, yes, yes, and you were the number one, and you've brought a library of 150 books across the Oregon Trail, and would you teach our children? We don't have a building, but we've got a little lean-to here, this lean next to that log. Okay, we got. So he goes into this lean-to with these 20 students. This thing looks like it would fall over if you blew on it. He takes a big slate, and with charcoal, he writes Yamhill University, and he tacks it up on this lean-to. Yamhill University. This is William Lysander Adams. Now, look at those 20 students, and before you laugh at how foolish this is, Yamhill University, look at who's in that class. There's John Rogers McBride. He's going to get elected more than once to the United States House of Representatives. He's going to represent Oregon in Congress. Look at next to him his brother, Thomas McBride. He's going to become the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court. And look at their cousin, George Lemuel Woods, next to sitting in that class. Woods is going to become the third governor of Oregon, 1866 to 1870, Republican. Very young governor, outstanding gospel preacher. Shows up in Salem, Oregon. The Church of Christ has stopped meeting. He rebukes them, says we need to build a building, and this time out of bricks. They build the famous little brick Church of Christ in Salem. He becomes one of the four elders. He does a lot of the preaching, and the church thrives. The glory years for the Restoration Movement, as my book points out, are the 1870s. And Woods leads into that. But I left off the greatest one of all. It wasn't just the two Rogers brothers who go to Congress or become Chief Justice. It wasn't just Woods who becomes governor of Oregon. It is Levi Lindsay Rowland. And he is going to come back in 1853 all the way to Bethany and study under Campbell and get a B.A., stay on and get an M.A. He's going to meet Emma Sanders, who is a graduate of Talbert Fanning's Franklin College. And they're going to marry in 1858, and by 59, they're coming back to help the cause in Oregon. He dies in 1908. He gives the last half century of his life. He becomes the president of our first school, Bethel College. He becomes the president of our second school, Christian College in Monmouth. And when those schools are no longer viable and we don't have enough young people to populate those schools and they're not the church-related schools they were, he becomes the medical professor at Willamette University in Salem. He becomes the founder of the medical department, the medical school at Willamette. He becomes the first superintendent for all of education in the state of Oregon. This is Levi Lindsay Rowland. So here's William Lysander Adams. And he's teaching these four young men. And then in this picture, I show Adams on the left and Rowland on the right. Adams dies in 1906. Rowland dies in 1908. But that's long after their glory years. In the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, these men lead the church and lead our colleges out west. So what are the Bethanys of the West? Well, Jefferson Institute, Yamhill University, Oregon Academy, Pleasant Hill Academy, Bethany School, Rick Riall Academy, McMinnville College. Really only had two big ones, although, I mean, we started McMinnville, and today it's called Linville University in McMinnville. You know, McMinnville was named for all the members of the Church of Christ from McMinnville, Oregon. And Monmouth, Illinois was named for all the members of the Christian Church from Monmouth, Illinois, and so on. We named a lot of the towns in Oregon. We were the dominant religious group until the Methodists passed us because of their circuit-riding preachers, which was a very smart move, but we were still number second to the end of my book. It took a while before the Baptists and the Catholics passed. I mean, the Restoration Movement is out there, and the Bethanys of Oregon. So the two schools we have are Bethel, which only lasted 7 years, and then Monmouth University, which they named for their hometown in Illinois, which they quickly changed the name to Christian College. It starts in 1856, and we're still viable into the 1880s. At some point, it becomes a normal school, meaning a teacher education school. Today, it's Western Oregon State University. So here quickly in the map, way up here is where Adams took that slate and wrote Yamhill University and tacked it up there, the number one student from Bethany, and he's got a glittering class in front of him. That was 4 miles west of Carlton in Yamhill County. It's about 2 miles, 3 miles maybe, from Camp Yamhill that the Church of Christ runs in Oregon. And many years ago, they decided to build another building in the camp and name it Yamhill University because they had read my book. And they said, you must come and dedicate it. I was in England. They said, we don't care. Fly home. We want you to dedicate it. I flew home through Atlanta. Then we went to Salt Lake City. It was a 24-hour flight. Bonnie Miller picked me up. I was about dead. We drove out to Camp Yamhill. But it was a thrill. I got to dedicate Camp Yamhill University at Camp Yamhill. Here's McMinnville, started by members of the church, and that was the Christian college that is now Linville. Here is the first
Linfield.
Of the Linfield. I said Linville, right? Linfield? Thank you. And this is the first college, and then down to Monmouth. So this is the Willamette Valley from the University of Oregon up to Portland. And we were really strong all through this area. Okay, here's Bethel College, a good size. Look at the bell over here in this old photograph. Bringing them in. I think this building was thrown up in one day at a July 4th party, where all the men came together, you know, like a barn raising. They build it all down in the ground, and then everybody pulls the ropes, and they pull it up, all four sides, and you got a school. It did it in one day. And then here's another view of it from the side, a little better view of that bell. This was the school. Here's the historical marker. Plaque marks the site of Bethel College, 1855, 1862. Then we went to Monmouth and started Monmouth University, which was changed to Christian College. And eventually, we built Campbell Hall, of course. Mm-hmm. And this is the oldest building on any college campus today in the state of Oregon, 1872. And here's the family that did it, Thomas Franklin Campbell. He was distantly related to Alexander Campbell, not as close as his wife. Eliza was a first cousin to Alexander Campbell. She was a Campbell, too. A Campbell married a Campbell. Thomas Franklin was the next great graduate to come out of Bethany. You got William Lysander Adams and Levi Lindsay Rowland, and now Thomas Franklin Campbell. And he builds Campbell Hall. And here's the graduating class, I think, of 1876. One girl. So many of our schools were co-educational almost from the beginning. But we had some great female academies, the one in Midway, Kentucky, and two in the state of Missouri. That's Mary Stump, and here's her diploma. Christian College, Monmouth, Oregon. Mary Stump, Bachelor of Science, and signed by T.F. Campbell. And is there a date here? 14th day of June, Anno Domini, 1800, and I think it's 76.
21.
Next line.
The school, here it is, 1871. Sorry. June 14th, 1871. When Eliza died, President Campbell's first wife, he ends up marrying Mary Stump. I think it's about 1985 he marries. So here he is signing her diploma in 1871. Now there's a marker inside inside Campbell Hall, a tribute to the founders of Monmouth University, and it lists all the key families here from the Christian church that built that. And then it mentions four more, Davidson, Murphy, Lucas, and Butler. 18 families that really built Monmouth, Oregon, and built that school. Here's what Campbell Hall looks like today. It's very clean and neat, and the oldest building on any campus in the state. And the sign out front says, Western Oregon University, founded 1856. Now, as we come across the Oregon Trail, what about the educators coming across to Sacramento? I've showed you the Bethanies of Oregon. How about the Bethanies of California? The Bethanies of the West in California would be Hesperian College, starts in 1861, deliberately on March 4. Why? Why would they say, we don't want to start on March 5, we don't want to start on March 3, we're starting on March 4. Why?
Rallying cry?
No, it's the day that Abraham Lincoln is being sworn in as the 16th President of the United States. Wow. And they said, you know, we're fans of Lincoln, and way out here in California, we're going to make sure our school starts at the moment he's being sworn in. March 4th, 1861. And so to 1890, so that school lasts 35 years. Then the second one was Santa Rosa Christian College. Alexander Johnston started that, 1872 to 1880. Pierce Christian College. When Andrew Pierce died, he left 3,000 acres and a lot of money. And they built a new town called College City, California, in Calusa County. And they built Pierce Christian College. It lasted 20 years. Florence didn't last very long. Alexander Johnston also, after he got this one started and left it with Brother Martin, he went over here and tried to start one in, what's the name of that town? Where was Hell's Angels filmed? What was that town in? Hollister, California. He starts it in Hollister, and but that didn't last very long. We had one in the Southland, Southern Pacific College, only 2 years over in Downey. And then we were given a college. We didn't even build this. They wanted the church to run it. Washington College in Alameda County, 1883 to 1899. So you see we had Yolo County, Sonoma County, Calusa County, and down here, Alameda County. And here's where they were. The oldest was right above Sacramento in Woodland. That was the largest church in the 19th century. It was referred to in all of our papers as the Jerusalem of the North. Mm-hmm. And it had the biggest attendance, and they built this wonderful college. The second college was started over here at Santa Rosa. Then the third one up here at College City by Arbuckle. And then we were given this school down here below Fremont. The man who was the chairman of the board was J.N. Pendergast. He was a Moakie from the Kentucky-Tennessee border. And this is his old house, his old Victorian house. When I first started doing research, took a picture of this house, the family living here were members of the Church of Christ in Woodland. So this old Victorian house was still in the Stone Campbell movement years ago when I first started doing research. Here's the open Bible in the seal of the college. Here's a sketch of what it's going to look like. You know, they announced it in 1860, and then the first students come in 61. Here's an actual photograph. We got two rambunctious guys that go up here on the roof. I've got two of these in every college I've been in. Everybody lined up here. Nice photo. And then one more really nice one. After they painted the sign, Hesperian College, 1861 founded, and all the students there. I've been to that site many times, just a parking lot now, but what a great moment in our history to have. Hesperian, I think, is a Spanish word for the West or Westerner. It's a Western school. It's the Bethany's of the West. And there's the football team in the 1880s or something at Hesperian. The ball's a little different shape. These guys are not only not wearing helmets, they're not wearing much clothing. look at the biceps on this man. He didn't need a lot of padding. He looks like he's ready to play. And then the second college was Christian College in Santa Rosa. Beautiful building. And James Martin became the president. But then there was a famous student who actually did some preaching, Charlie Markham. Edwin Markham becomes the most famous poet in America after he writes The Man with the Hoe, published in San Francisco in 1899. Until Robert Frost bursts on the scene in the early 1930s, Markham dominates that 30-year period. He is the dean of American poets. And he writes in his autobiography about his days at Christian College and about being baptized. I think he was baptized by Alexander Johnston. His mother was a devout member of the church. Now as we go up to College City, just before you get to Arbuckle, the sign says, turn right for College City and Grimes. And I went over looking for this building, the old college of Pierce Christian College. And I actually had a photograph of it. The photograph was after it became a high school in the village. But I noted these two palm trees. I wondered if maybe they would be standing. I doubted if the building was. And I went back, and the building was gone. But the palm trees were there. And the local people told me, yes, that's where the college stood. How about the old church, the Christian church that the students went to? Well, it was still there when I went there a long time ago. And it was about to fall down. I think this is probably all gone now. But look at the size of that. And there's the palm trees back there. So here's Pierce Christian College, and here's the church. And then here's Florence College going up in Hollister, but that school didn't last as long. And then here's Washington College, which was given to us. Now I come back to Garfield. When Garfield was assassinated, I was just surfing one night and found this photograph. We didn't deck the White House in black draping when Kennedy was assassinated, I don't think. I was sure watching all the news. I never saw that. But when Garfield, who was the second of the four assassinated presidents, when he was assassinated, they decked it in black. And then the church decided to build a university and call it Garfield University. And they built a gorgeous building out in Wichita, Kansas. It's much bigger than it looks here because you're only seeing the T, the line of the T. The building goes way back here. It's in the shape of a T. And way back behind here is the chapel where everybody met. Today it's been cleaned up. It's now called Fringe University. The church owned it from 1886 to 1890. Biggest student body was 1,620 or 1,640. And then there was a drought. All the members of the church were farmers. They all lost their money. And the school closed in 1690 and remained closed for 8 years. And the Quakers bought it. And the Quakers named it, you know, their church was called Friends Church. They named it Fringe University. It's still there, thriving school. And when you go back and walk up that, you know, if you start walking here and look to the right, as I have done, up here it says this building. is on the National Register of Historic Places, which means it can never be torn down and it can never be painted anything but what it was in its original state. I mean, it's to be, it's important. It's historic. And here it says Garfield University. I got the date wrong. It was 1886, but Garfield University, 1886 to 1890, now Fringe University, 1898. You look a little further, and it's got this quote here. I thought this was fascinating. The state of Kansas honors the memory of James A. Garfield, the student, teacher, Christian, statesman, patriot, soldier, and martyred president. And all that was true. Garfield became a general in the Civil War, and he was the president of the college. He was a statesman for a long time, and he was the martyred president. And then where does this quote come from? God reigns, and the government at Washington still lives. The night Lincoln was shot, I don't know how, by telegraph or whatever, the word reaches New York City around Times Square, and there is a riot forming that our president has been shot in Ford's Theater and may be dead for all we know. And Garfield was in New York, and he came out on a balcony of his hotel close to Times Square, and the crowd was out of control, and he got them under control with his booming voice, 6 foot, 200 pounds. Garfield, was strong, old backwoodsman, cutting trees in his early youth. And he's a great preacher and a debater. He's got this booming voice, great congressman. And he comes out on the balcony, and he gives the speech, and the word spreads through the crowd. It's Garfield. It's Congressman Garfield. And so, let's listen. This is a member of our government. He's giving us an update. And he says, whatever happens, we're going to survive this. We don't know. But he ends his speech with a line that all the papers pick up. He ends by belting out, God reigns, and the government at Washington still lives. That's something that just gives chills, and the crowd dispersed, Of course, Lincoln dies during the night, and the next day, the government does still live. Of all the colleges, I just had to throw this one in. This is in Nebraska. We had a school called Cotner College. When I moved out here in 1972, the old library of Cotner College was having a book sale, and I bought a lot of great Restoration history in Lincoln, Nebraska, in June of 1972. But look at the building and the different brick. And what did they name that little community that was a part of Lincoln, Nebraska? Do you see it on this postcard? Bethany, of course. Cotner University in Bethany, Nebraska. Bethany, parentheses, Lincoln. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the impact of Campbell and that little village of Bethany, where I was 2 weeks ago, building a college halfway between Omaha and Lincoln, well, right there at Lincoln in the suburbs of Lincoln, Cotner. That opened in 1889. Now, in Norval Young's book, A History of Christian Colleges, 1949, Norval, was our president and our chancellor, and I preached his funeral here in February 20, 1998. So this coming February 20 will have been 30 years. Am I doing that right? No, 20 years. 20 years since Norval died. But he wrote this book on the history of Christian colleges. It's got 8 chapters. And the first chapter, he goes back and he talks about the beginnings of the Restoration Movement, and he's really talking about Bethany. Then he talks about 3 pioneer colleges, and it's basically Franklin. He mentions Thorpe Spring and so on. Then he talks about the 2 oldest living colleges, Lipscomb and Freed Hartman. By the way, let me jump over here and show you. Here is the main building at Freed Hartman, Old Main, 1907. This is on the National Register of Historic Places. And rightly so, it's a gorgeous building. And it can never be torn down. That's the first building as you come in to Freed Hartman. Now back, he does the 2 oldest schools, Lipscomb and Harding. Then he does Harding College and its predecessors. There were 5 predecessors. All the way along and eventually ending up in Harding. Then he does the small Texas colleges of Lockney, Gunter, Sabino, and Southwestern. And this is not the Southwestern we have today in Terrell. This was Southwestern north of Dallas. I'm trying to think of the town. All of these did not last very long. Then he does 2 senior Western colleges, Abilene Christian College and Pepperdine. 3 new colleges, 1 in Alabama. It was called Montgomery Bible School. Today it's Faulkner University.
a beautiful campus, beautiful building, football school. And then one in Florida, which is still there. Florida College represents sort of the conservative side of Church of the Non-Institutional Brethren. And one in Oklahoma that was called Central Christian College and is today Oklahoma Christian University. It starts in Bartlesville and then it's in Oklahoma City, Edmond area. And then he's got a conclusion in which he actually uses the phrase that I used as my title. As Norval is wrapping up the book, he says, "From Bethany to Pepperdine." This was in 1949. It's prescient, I think. It was the right thing to say. The book ends with this line: "Let us honor those who have served so boldly in the last century. We salute them for their sacrifices and their service. May the coming century see the flowering of a Christian college movement, building upon the foundation of those who have gone before us." And so, where are we today? I'll close with this. Churches of Christ schools would include the following: Abilene Christian, Austin Graduate School of Theology, Crowley's Ridge in Paragould, Arkansas, Faulkner University, Montgomery, Alabama, Florida College in the Tampa area, Freed Hardeman University in Henderson, Great Lakes Christian College, my alma mater, Beamsville, Ontario, Canada, Harding School of Theology in Memphis, Harding University in Searcy, Heritage Christian University in Florence, Alabama, Lipscomb in Nashville, Lubbock Christian in Lubbock, Texas, Ohio Valley, where I spoke on the Bible lectures 2 weeks ago, is in right there in Vienna, West Virginia, right in the Parkersburg area. They have a campus of 266 acres, about 460 students, I think. Oklahoma Christian University, I'm leaving a week from this Sunday to lead them on a hymns tour to England. They put together a tour of 38 people. I make 39, the coach driver is 40. So we're going to go off and sing together. These are people from Oklahoma, because that's my alma mater, that's where I got my BA. Pepperdine, Rochester College, where I not only went as a student, but went back as head basketball coach, met my wife there, taught classes there. My parents are buried maybe 5 miles from there. I mean, Rochester is sacred territory as far as memory-wise for me and Lori and the family that I once had. I don't have anybody left back there, but I haven't been back since I buried my mom. It is close to the heart. Southwestern Christian College in Terrell, Texas, serves predominantly a black student body. I doubt if it's 100% African-American, but it's close. And York College is in the middle of Nebraska, just off Highway Interstate 80. So the disciples, what do they have left? Barton College in Wilson, North Carolina, is named for you-know-who, Barton Lawrence Stone. And it's the old Atlantic Christian College. It was founded in 1902, still there. Beautiful campus. Bethany College, Chapman University here in Orange in the Southland. It's fitting, I think, that these two men, George Pepperdine, founder of Western Auto, and Charles Chapman, the Orange King of the West Coast, have colleges named for them. They were both great elders in the church and the Stone Campbell movement. I think Pepperdine is much closer to Churches of Christ than Chapman is today to the disciples. But the disciples hang in there. They have a relationship with Chapman. And then Columbia College in Columbia, Missouri, which is established in 1851 as a female institute, and becomes coeducational in 1970. They've not only got a big school right there in the shadow of the University of Missouri, they're on about 30 other campuses. They spread out and do a lot of things. Isn't that what Ken is doing? He's working for some kind of drama thing.
Yeah.
He still lives here in the Southland, but he works for Columbia, I think. Culver Stockton College is still there. That's where the Disciples of Christ Historical Society was started by Claude Spencer in 1941. It moved to Nashville in 52. It was there for over a half century. And last summer, all of that moved back to Bethany. And a building was built between the mansion and Old Main, on that strip of land between where Campbell lived and where his study was. And the director and the archivist of that is a member of the Church of Christ, who is running the Disciples of Christ. And that is Shelley Jacobs. Shelley, you've been there how long now?
Since July.
Not even a year yet. But so Culver Stockton is where that began. Drury University is in Springfield, Missouri. We didn't start that school. That was started by the Congregationalists. But when Those three bodies merged in 1957. The congregation was one. They formed the United Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. And now that the United Church of Christ is merging with the Disciples of Christ, so somehow the Disciples have a relationship with Drury University. And then Eureka College, Reagan School still as a Disciple School, Hiram College, Garfield's College, Jarvis Christian College in Texas is predominantly African-American. It's down by Tyler, Texas. Wood County, I think. Lynchburg College is Lynchburg, Virginia. Midway University is just northwest of Lexington. It started at a women's college, Midway Female Institute. Today it's a university of pretty good size, just outside of Lexington. Texas Christian University is their biggest school, of course, the Horned Frogs, Fort Worth, Texas, Division I football, all that. Transylvania University is still there in Lexington. That's an odd name for a university. It sounds like Dracula, you meet with Vic of Dracula. But Henry Clay taught on the faculty. I mean, they've got some prestigious roots at Transylvania. I mean, Dracula may have taught on the faculty. But Henry Clay impressed me that he taught there. And then finally, William Woods University is quite large. It's in Fulton, Missouri. It started out as a girls' school, and now it's co-educational. And then the last one are the Christian churches, ABC, Alberta Bible College, up in Calgary. And the man who's running that now is a member of the Church of Christ, but that's affiliated with the independent Christian churches. Boise Bible College, beautiful campus. We partnered with them in our off-campus master's program. I went there, set it all up with Boise, and the Christian church welcomed us, Pepperdine, into that program. Then Central Christian College in Moberly. I was there recently, spoke in chapel, and that's a fine school. Cincinnati Christian University, Emmanuel Christian Seminary in Johnson City, Tennessee. Great Lakes Christian. They also have a Great Lakes in Lansing, Michigan. Hope International University right over here in Fullerton. Johnson University in Johnson City. And then Johnson University, Florida. They've taken over what was Florida Christian College in Kissimmee, and it's now the Johnson Board takes it over. Kentucky Christian University in Grayson, fine school. I went there and spent about 4 days, gave 11 lectures, spoke in chapel every day. That is a wonderful school. Lincoln Christian University, I have never been to. I have a standing invitation to come speak there, and I just haven't got there. That's in Illinois, of course. Manhattan Christian College. Now, here is E.C. Sanderson. Sanderson said, we need to build our Christian colleges. We're almost done. Our Christian college is right next door to big universities. And he bought property in the shadow of Kansas State in Manhattan, Kansas, and built Manhattan Christian College. I think it's still there. Last time I was there to go to a game, it was there.
It is, yeah.
And then he came west, and he bought property right across the street there at 11th from the University of Oregon in Eugene. I've been back four, and that's now Northwest Christian University. And I've been back four times to speak there. I did Founders Day one time, and I do their Heritage Week and so on. And their students can go to the University of Oregon and take English, and whatever. They can go over there, but they get all their Bible and other classes here. That was E.C. Sanderson. They didn't know a lot about him, I don't think, and they asked me if I'd come back and do Founders Day one time. So I lectured on Sanderson back in Eugene where he did all of this. And then Ozark Christian College in Joplin, Missouri, very strong school. Puget Sound has closed, I'm sorry to say, because we use that campus as the Pepperdine headquarters for our off-campus master and ministry program in Seattle. We went there, four or five times. We had a great relationship with the Christian churches there. This was all C.H. Phillips. C.H. Phillips started Alberta Bible College in Canada. He started Puget Sound. I got to do the C.H. Phillips lectures when you're sort of like the William Green lectures here. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is William Jessup University. That's the old San Jose Christian College that moved up to Sacramento. It's in Rockland, right outside Sacramento. And it's the Jessup family gave a lot of money. It's named for William Jessup. So I close with this. We end with Pepperdine. From Bethany to Pepperdine, we end up this movement that ends up with over 500 schools all over the country. Many of them still hanging in there. And coming from Bethany and Campbell and ending up with 630 acres overlooking the Pacific built into the Santa Monica Mountains. So I close with this. From Bethany, Campbell's little beginning, two buildings in Bethany, in 1840-41,
to Pepperdine now. I was going to hand out a final exam and see how much of this you remembered. But we're about 3 minutes late. So thanks for coming. We're all dismissed. Have a good night.